Hi, welcome to Feminist Mormon Housewives. I'm your host, Cammie, and I have with me Carson Calderwood. I'm going to be interviewing him on why he posted his profile on ordainedwomen.org. Carson, how are you doing?
Excellent, Cammie. Thank you.
Good. So tell just a little bit about your background with the church, how long you've been a member, and marital status, family status, and maybe your occupation.
All right. I like to always describe things and like where I come from in two contrasts. I have my mom's side of the family that goes back to Heber C. Kimball and Orson Pratt.
Wow.
And, you know, very, you know, letter of the law, you don't change out of your clothes on Sunday type of thing. And then my dad's family my mom's from Utah, my dad's from Idaho, where it's like, my dad, even though he doesn't like telling us, I know that he was semi-active and didn't really go a whole lot when he was younger, would do a few things. And so they got married, two total contrasts. My mom had a swimming pool at age 3, my dad had an outhouse till 13.
Oh,
total
my gosh.
Opposites got together, and I'm kind of a weird mix of those two different worlds.
Wow.
So grew up that way. Loved Mormonism. I remember growing up in high school and during class reading like Mormon Doctrine and the book by Joseph Smith. I just loved it. So I'd like dive deep into it all the time because I loved it so much. Went on a mission, was super excited about it. Had a great mission in that I met a lot of great people, had a lot of success. And then on the way home, going through the temple, had a really weird, awkward experience that kind of made me start to doubt God. And that kind of set me on that path a little bit, but got back, met my awesome wife at BYU. I like to describe us as she's always been kind of a feminist. Since that experience on a mission, I've always been a little bit agnostic, and throughout our marriage, she's turned me into a feminist, and I've turned her into a little bit of a heretic through all that. But went through BYU, decided to be a dentist. Like, I think a third of all BYU graduates are probably dentists, it seems like. Went to Maryland for dental school, had our first kid out there, and just kind of came back to Seattle, followed my wife out here, and we've been here in Seattle for about 10 years now.
Oh, great. And do you guys have any children?
Yes, we have 4 kids. So our first turns 13 in 2 days.
Wow.
We'll be entering the teenage years, so excited for that. And then we have 3 boys, and fourth time was the charm for us. We have a super sweet girl named Aspen who's 4.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you have 3 boys, and are they really, what's the word? Usually when there's a lot of brothers and this one little girl, either they're real protective of her or they like to mess around with her.
Yeah, they're definitely protective, and it's really sweet because they're not protective of each other. You know, they're always fighting and hitting and everything, but they are with her, and it's been awesome. She is a weird mix between tomboy because she's like wants to be a ninja like them, but she's the only girl, so she likes that. So she always says things like, "I'm a pink ninja with sparkles." So she's an awesome mix of tomboy and sparkly girl.
Oh, that's cute. Well, you know, that's it. They come in all shapes, and that was something I liked. I didn't have older brothers, but I really liked being a tomboy where I could go play in the mud and everything with the boys. But I liked my pink stuff too, so.
Nice. Best of both worlds.
There you go. So you are out in Seattle now, correct?
Yep.
And does your wife come from any pioneer heritage? I just have to ask.
Yeah, so we don't often to admit this, but when I was at BYU, I took a genealogy class, made this big like 15 generational genealogy chart. And when she came to visit me at my house, she looked on there. Her maiden name's Pond. And she saw a pond and she's like, Stillman Pond, he's my grandpa too. And I'm like, oh crap. So I heard and counted back, and luckily it was like 7 generations. I'm like, okay, I'm still safe with this girl. I can keep dating her.
Genetic mutations there.
Yeah, exactly. All 4 kids have come out fine, so I think we're good. But she comes from that same line on her, that comes to her father's side. You know, a lot of, you know, pioneer stock and all that. Her mom's side is a little bit similar to my dad's side, although they're probably more active. They just converts a little bit back, not too far, about 2-3 generations, and she grew up. We kind of grew up very differently, and that her parents were a lot more academic and liberal with them, where my parents were very strict and all about hard work, and we kind of have met in the middle. We are different than both of our parents, and we kind of met in the middle, and we're very similar, which has been nice.
I think that's what marriage does. You know, it helps to complement you. you know, as a person. Totally. At least it should. And that's, you know, when you're talking about your genealogy, I have a friend who is married to a non-member, and they did their genealogy, and he's from out in Missouri, and his ancestors drove her ancestors out of Missouri.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's, I just tell them, I think your ancestors are rolling in their grave right now because you're married, so.
I bet both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Carson, tell us a little bit about why you posted your profile on Ordained Women.
So I've tried to be pretty active in different movements, stuff that's going on. I did a minor in sociology because I just love sociological mm-hmm. things and trends, and I've always had a passion for that. And because of that experience in the temple, it kind of took me outside the box of Mormonism, and I stayed in. I wanted to have faith that maybe I could resolve those doubts and issues, but it allowed me to look at things outside the box. And I think that after doing that for so many years, when this came along, I was already aware of issues of gender inequality in the church, how, you know, prophets and apostles, although they're good men who try really hard to do good stuff, they often can make mistakes, and sometimes severe mistakes. And so I was okay with disagreeing with them for that. So when it came out, I wanted to support that cause to have gender equality. Like I said, my wife has been she's helped me recognize, you know, how I have privilege, and which is hard to see until you get it pointed out to you. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to support that so we can make those changes. I want the world to be a better place. I want the women to have a greater opportunity and all those things. And what better way to do that within Mormonism, which is my tribe, than to support ordained women movement, especially since the whole core is just asking the prophet to ask God, you know, how can that be wrong?
Right. That was the first thing that, when I read that and when I saw that that's what they were asking for, I knew that that was a completely faithful way of asking for further light and knowledge. It wasn't, we demand, it's, would you ask?
Totally.
Totally different. So, having a girl, did that impact your, the way you see things as well?
Surprisingly not. Like, as I've heard other people mention that, I have reflected on that more, but that didn't really influence me as much as, and it does now as I look at it. I definitely want to mitigate those issues and help her recognize you can be anything you want. You don't have to be a stay-at-home mom, especially if that isn't fulfilling to you. You know, mm-hmm. you can be, just be the best person you can be and do what helps you feel like a good person. Mm-hmm. So it has in retrospect now, but initially it wasn't as much of a motivator as just the gender inequality things that I saw. Mm-hmm. And knowing, actually, like it says on my profile, I remember like in one of those readings when I was younger, reading and finding out that women used to lay their hands on other mm-hmm. women and kids and give blessings. I'm like, what? How come I've never heard that? How'd that happen? Why doesn't it happen now? So yeah. Part of me is like, hey, why not? They used to basically do priesthood ordinances. Why can't we go back to there?
Yeah. Yeah. And that is when the church has talked about, you know your history, know your church history. That is a huge part of our church history that was beautiful. I think it resonated with women on a lot of different levels, as well as talking about their being a heavenly mother, because then we can actually, women can see themselves within the concept of divinity and divine practice.
Exactly. And have something to aspire to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So since you profiled, when did you post your profile for Ordained Women?
I don't remember exactly. I think it's been a few months now, probably maybe about 3 months or so. It was a couple months before all the drama went down with Kate Kelly. So I was glad I was on board before then.
Mm. So what type of experience have you had since Kate Kelly's trial this past June? What type of responses have you received? Do people know that you have a profile? And how have you responded to that situation?
It's been kind of interesting. When I first posted my profile, I was debating, should I put it on my timeline or not? And then a good buddy that I grew up with, he gets the Twitter feed of when they come out, and he's like immediately posted it to my timeline. He says, I saw your name come up today and I had to check if it was you. And so all of a sudden it was there. And I keep my Facebook public because I just want everyone to know everything on, mm-hmm. on all the stuff like that. And so all of a sudden everyone knew, but no one said anything. I was kind of shocked. Mm. But then when the news came out about Kate Kelly, and I posted this really like special intimate picture, the one that with her tear, I posted on my timeline, and I said, I feel so sad for Kate Kelly right now. And I had all these people kind of jump on me about how she deserved what she got, and like that crushed me, and it actually hurt me seeing what happened to her more than I thought it would. Like, you know, vicariously, I think a lot of us have kind of lived through her a little bit, and that it hurt us when we saw that that happened to her, because I felt like it was unfair. You know, if the primary role of us as members is obedience, then maybe she deserved it. But if the primary role of us is to come towards God, try and make the world a better place, try and be like our Savior, those things, then it didn't seem fair. And that's kind of how I felt. And I was shocked. And the crazy thing was, I got a ton of private messages from non-members, from other people that were friends of me and friends of friends, that posted like, I appreciate you being able to take this stand. It's so brave. And seeing how those people respond, I'm so sorry. Keep doing it. And that was really, that made me feel good. You know, like, I'm not one to try and do a lot of missionary work, but I felt like I was, you know, that I was connecting with a lot of people, and they were seeing that better side of Mormonism, the pioneer side. You know, let's do what we think is right and go out there. Let the consequences follow.
Yeah, well put. I had a lot of people from other faiths who did the same thing. They would call or they would send me a private message and go, I am so sorry that you're being, you know, harassed by your own people. And, you know, keep just know that we love you. We support you no matter what. And just very, very positive. But
yeah, one thing that was interesting as well is I unfortunately get drawn into Facebook discussions, quote unquote, too often. And I definitely didn't want that to turn into that, because I felt like it was, anything like that would have been disrespectful, whether you agree or disagree. But it kept happening, and I just kept posting like a sad face saying, this makes me sad, like all these responses make me sad, and people kept doing it again and again. And I think that's what really hurt the most. It's like, you know what, if we want to be Christ-like, even if we disagree, we need to be more loving. And that's what seemed to bother me the most. But there's also been some good that's come out of it. I don't want to dwell on just the negative. There have been a lot of people who have come to me, like, again, in private messages, because people are scared to be open about it, and talk to me like, I saw that, I agree with you, it's made me think, I'm noticing these things. So it is, I feel like, snowballing and growing, and that makes me happy to be a part of that.
Have you had any kind of pushback from your local leaders regarding this?
I haven't received anything from them, like seeing it and contacting me, but I did, had met with my bishop for something else, and I kind of let him know. And so he brought me back in. He's like, I've also noticed you haven't had your temple recommend interview. And it's been 4 months since with the stake, it's been 4 months since you had it with the bishopric, and you need to redo that since it's been that long. And so he started going through that with me. And when he got to that question about supporting, however it says, you know, other organizations against the church, and I'm like, well, it depends on what your view of ordained women is, because I fully support that. And he said he'd have to go talk to the stake president, pray about it. Met again today, actually, right before this interview, and they decided that that would make me not temple recommend worthy, which I said it's okay. I kind of wanted to take a break anyway, so it bothered me a little bit. I even mentioned to him, like, wasn't that originally made because of like fundamentalist Mormonism with polygamy and stuff, that you weren't supporting them? And he's like, yeah, I think that could be the history, but that's kind of how it is now. So I was disappointed, but I feel comfortable with where I am, and I feel like I'm doing what is right, and so I'm okay with it. If that's the way it's gonna have to be for me, then I will do it, because it makes me feel good to do what I feel is right, and so I'm gonna keep doing it.
Right, and even though some consequences are painful, they'll pass.
Exactly.
And everyone has to make their own decision to what they feel comfortable with. I mean, I wouldn't judge anybody who takes down their profile or whatnot in order to keep their calling or to keep whatever they feel like they need to do with their life right now. I think it's just being able to look in the mirror and feel good about yourself, and also know that you can feel good about your relationship with divinity.
And I have the benefit of having been on this outsider's view, or whatever you want to call it, stepping away a little bit for, actually, I don't, it's whenever my mission, 21, now I'm 30, almost 38. So however many years that ends up adding up to, but it's, you know, over 15 years now, I've been able to slowly break away. And it's mm-hmm. been a hard process for me. I kind of wanted to, that, you know, 17 years ago, I considered, man, is it all not true? Should I walk away? But I couldn't. There's too mm-hmm. much pain that's associated with that. So I've had a gradual, I didn't just overnight all of a sudden be able to feel comfortable doing that. It took a long time to get there. So I understand when other people don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah. And I'll edit this out, but for me as well, I was looking at everything, and I've gone through ecclesiastical abuse on a repeated basis over the past 30 years. And when all of this hit the fan, I'm like, I'm done. I don't care anymore what anyone thinks. I am tired of being quiet, especially as a woman.
Totally.
So tired of being quiet. And I just, you know how you said you just posted everything public because you don't care. And that's when it was announced that she was going to get a trial. I'm just like, I don't care who sees anymore. I'm so sick of this. I should not have to live my religion based on fear. That's not God's way, period.
Yeah.
So Carson, what kind of vision do you have for ordination of women now with everything that has happened? Has it changed your view, or what type of view do you have for ordination of women in the LDS Church?
I think, like so many other things that was have been said, that they would never happen and did, I think that eventually this will happen. It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. And when that day comes, that'll be awesome. It'll be so cool for my daughter to be able to see women be able to not have to always answer to men, and mm-hmm. to have leaders not be such a significant majority male voices, mm-hmm. so that they can, so my daughter doesn't, hopefully sooner than later, because I don't want her to grow up where it becomes normal for her to expect a man to step up and lead, mm-hmm. or normal for her not to have certain positions of authority, so that she can grow up in a paradigm where women can be the leaders, where it feels comfortable to step up and be the leader and stuff like that. That's what I look forward to in the long run. In the meantime, I see ordained women continuing to inspire people that are already aware of those issues and help others who are not to become aware, so that then they can be inspired to help out. I think we discussed before about this, like at first I might have been a little hesitant, and I know my wife was, because she felt like maybe it was going to be too irreverent, you know, too outside the lines of what's acceptable way to discuss things you disagree with in the church. But as we've looked at it, I really think that even though it might be a little shocking to some members, after a little bit, they sit back and think, oh, you know what? It's true. How can it be that until 2014, a woman never prayed in conference?
Yeah.
That can't be true, but it is. And so they find that out. And I think that opens up. And I think that this is having that effect. It's an overall greater effect than continuing to be quiet and submissive within the bounds of what was acceptable mm-hmm. would have created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes it happens with a shock, and then people start to go, wait a minute. It's almost like coming out of the slumber of your traditions of your fathers, you know?
Totally.
And we all need that at some points with different things, like with how we're, you know, taking care of our recycling and stuff like that, that we just don't even think about until somebody shocks us into that kind of awareness.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carson. I appreciate you sharing your story, and I'll put your link up for your profile on Ordained Women. Is there anything else you would say out there to people who are looking into this, or maybe to any male allies out there?
Well, first, thank you. It was awesome, and I really enjoyed mm-hmm. talking with you. I would definitely tell people to keep looking. Sometimes I joke that the two worst things for the church right now are BYU and encouraging people to do their homework on history, because those when you do, you find these things out and it motivates you. So go get your critical thinking and put it to use on the history and the culture and everything, so that we can take advantage of all the positives, which there are many, and hopefully fix a few of the negatives so we can be better.
Amen. Thank you, Carson.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.